Good evening, ladies. Let's see here. I'm going to try to set this up here. Well, when Jody had asked me to speak to the ladies, I started praying about what the Lord would have me speak on. And I felt like this is the topic that the Lord had laid on my heart, because it was something that the Lord's been taking me through the last just a while here, just something that he's been trying to teach me. So I'm hoping that it'll be a blessing to you as I'm learning it, and hopefully I can help you all through, maybe if you're dealing with some of the same things. But if you turn in your Bibles to Lamentations 3, verse 25... Lamentation 3:25 and 26, and that's one of those hard books to find in the Bible. I cheated ahead of time. I already had my marker up here, so it might take you a little longer to get there. But Lamentations 3:25 and 26, it says, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." And I just want to speak to you just for a few minutes tonight on waiting on God, the waiting times of life. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'll be with us this evening as we talk about this important subject that we all have to deal with. I pray that you would just speak through me, Lord, and fill me. I pray that you'd cleanse me of anything in my heart that should not be there. I pray that you'd just use me to be a blessing, to be a help and a comfort, and somehow be a challenge to everyone here tonight. Speak to hearts and speak through me, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. And the topic of waiting, it's the dreaded word that we all hate, is wait, having to wait on something. And nobody likes to wait. We all want it right now. It's ingrained in us. It's part of our nature. That's how we are. We just want it now. And waiting has always been hard for everyone. But especially it seems like it gets harder in our culture that we live in, because everything is fast. Everything is now. And we've been conditioned in this fast food society. You know, everything is, we want it our way, and we want it right away, right now. Give it to me now. And so we, in our society, you know, in the old days, they had to wait a lot longer for things. But now in our society, we have everything, you know, drive-thrus, from drive-through banks, car wash, to drive-through car washes, drive-through cleaners. You know, what's next? Drive-through churches, you know. But I remember as a little girl coming back from Mexico. My parents were missionaries in Mexico, and I went down there. We went when I was 3 years old. So I didn't, you know, get used to a lot of the things in America, fast food restaurants, you know, drive-thrus, all these instant things. And so I remember coming back. We went when I was 3, and I came back when I was, I guess, about 8 and a half. And so I remember the first time, you know, going to a fast food restaurant and going, it was called Whataburger in Texas. You know, we came across the border, and they took us to this Whataburger, and that was just the neatest thing to us kids, you know. And I remember just being infatuated with the drive-through banks and just pushing that little button and seeing that little thing zipping up through there, you know, and it just sends you your money back. And I remember getting so excited as kids when they'd send us those little suckers back through that thing, you know. And we're so used to all that here in the United States now. But when I was a little girl, I just thought that was the neatest thing. But everything is fast, fast, instant, right now. Give it to me now. And so having to wait is not a very pleasant thing for us. We wait for so many things. You know, we go to the doctor's offices, and I don't know if they think that we have nothing better to do than to sit an entire day and wait. You know, you sit there I remember sitting for 3 hours one time, I think it was, out in the lobby. Then you finally get called back, and then you sit and wait some more in the office, and you know, waiting for the doctor to come in there. And so we wait in doctor's offices. We wait for so many things. We go to restaurants. And, you know, they say, well, how long is the wait? You know, and they say, well, it's half an hour wait, which ends up being 45 minutes or an hour. So you wait to get in, then you wait for your you know, your menu, and you wait for your drinks, and then you wait to place your order, and you wait for your food, and then you wait for your, you know, to your bill and your to-go box. And the comical thing is that they call these people that bring us our food, they call them waiters. We're the ones doing all the waiting, you know. So we're sitting there waiting and waiting, you know. Life is about waiting. And there's a comical story about a man that came from another country to visit our country. And he went into the grocery store for the first time. And he was walking up and down the aisles. And he saw powdered orange juice. Just add water, instant orange juice. He kept on walking up and down the aisles, and he saw powdered milk. You just add water, instant milk. He went up and he saw powdered coffee. You add water, and there you go, instant coffee. And he was walking down another aisle, and he saw baby powder. He said, wow, what a country. But wouldn't that be nice, you know, instant babies, no nine-month waiting period or anything. But so it would be great to have everything instant. I remember as a little girl, mom making bread with us. And a lot of you older ladies don't know this. Some of the younger girls may not know what I'm talking about. But mom would teach us how to make bread, and you would put that, you know, that yeast in there and dissolve it in the water and put the flour and make your dough. And I remember sitting there and making that big old dough, and then we'd have to sit and wait. And we'd come back to see how big it had gotten, you know. We were so excited to see how big it got. And then mom would smash it down, and then we'd get so excited. Next time we wanted to be the ones to get to smash it, you know, to punch it down. And then you have to wait some more and wait for it to get bigger again. And then you wait for it in the oven to come out, you know, baking. But it's so worth the wait, isn't it, when it comes out in that fresh bread with butter on it. But we wait to grow up from the time we're little, time we're young. I remember my brothers and sisters and I, you know, we wanted so badly to grow up. And so we wanted to seem older than we really were. And somebody would ask us how old we were, and we'd say, well, we're 12 and a half. You know, we're almost 13. You'd have to add that half on there. I think we even added quarters, or, you know, 12 and three quarters. I'm almost 13, you know. And we wait to grow up. We wait to graduate. We wait to get that first job. We wait to meet that person, that wonderful person, and get married. And then we wait to have a baby. And, you know, wait that long 9 months. Where's that instant baby powder, you know, when we need it? What happened to that? Then we wait, you know, for them to start walking and talking. And we wait for them to stop being so childish and grow up, you know. And then we wait. All of us wait for answers to prayers in our lives, in our marriages, in our children's lives. We're waiting on relationships to improve, maybe. Waiting on health to improve. It seems like our lives are just made up of waiting, just constant waiting, and it goes against our grain. It's so hard to wait on these things. But I remember somebody telling me when Jody and I were getting ready to get married, we were planning our wedding, and she told me, she said that the anticipation of waiting for something is half of the fun. You know, if you just got everything right away and didn't have to anticipate it and wait for it and plan for it. But that's half of the excitement of it, and it's a lot more special when you have to wait for something. But while we are in God's waiting room, we often question, and we start losing faith, and we say, Lord, are you even there? Do you even hear me? Are you even listening? Do you even know what I'm going through? You know, why are you making me wait? Why are you doing this? And we start losing faith. And the waiting rooms of life and waiting on God. And in the Bible, there's so many people that had to wait. And Abraham and Sarah would be one of our first things, of people that we think of. And Abraham and Sarah waited 25 years from the time that God made the promise to them that they would have a child. They waited 25 years. 25 years is typically how long somebody waits to get married. But they waited 25 years after God told them, you're going to have a child. Sarah was already there past childbirth when he told her this. And then she had to wait another 25 years on top of that. So I'm sure that these two that are in the Hall of Faith, and we know them for their great faith, I'm sure that Sarah many times questioned and doubted God and said, Lord, did you really say that? I mean, it's been 25 years. You know, I mean, if you said you were going to do this, why would you need to make us wait this long? We're already past childbirth. Why are you doing this? And the time, then there's David. He waited 14 years from the time he was anointed king until he took the throne. And so God said, you're going to be king. Imagine if someone told you were going to be royalty, and then you're waiting 14 years. Lord, you know, can I take the throne now? Are you ready to let me claim this promise that you gave me? Jacob waited 7 years for the woman he loved to get Rachel. And then he was tricked by Laban. And then he had to wait another 7 years again to get Rachel. And so for years, all down through the Bible, all down through the years, people have had to learn to wait on God. And so I just want to share with you a few things, and I want to make it into acrostic on the word wait. An acrostic on the word wait. And the W is wait expectantly and patiently. Ephesians 3 verse 20 says, knowing he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And wait expectantly, patiently, without whining, without worrying, without grumbling. That's a lot easier said than done. But it says that now unto him that is able to do above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And waiting on God is part of the life of faith. That's where faith came in with Sarah and Abraham, the life of faith. And while we're waiting on God, instead of resisting and fighting against God and getting angry and bitter, losing our patience, why don't we let it be a reminder of to look Godward? Let it remind us that instead of cringing against this and fighting it, let me look to you, Lord, in this waiting time. So whether it's a short waiting time or it's an endless days and endless years of waiting, it's never a waste with God. He has it all planned out. He knows exactly what you're waiting for. And he has a reason for making us wait, and he has a plan. And it's been said, I love this saying, it is in the delays and the pauses, in becoming aware of our lack of patience, that he works to save us from self-reliance and grows our faith and hope in him. So it's during those waiting times that we realize, Lord, I'm really not patient. I do need you to grow this patience in me. I really am too self-reliant. I need to let go of me and get more of you, claim more of you. And so during all that waiting time, he's teaching us things that we don't even realize we're learning. And it's hard to be patient and wait, like I said, as we're growing up. And Judson, he's turning 15 Sunday, on Easter Sunday, April Fool's Day. But and he, you know, they can get their permit, their driver's permit, when they turn 15. Well, his birthday is on Sunday. The DMV is not open on Sunday. He was going to go the day he turned 15. So, of course, we're going to go Monday. But we're going to make it a special day and take him, you know, make a family day and take him, get his permit, you know. But for the, I don't know how many years now, for probably 4 years, he thinks he should have been driving. He's been saying, you know, Mama, I just don't understand, because he's been driving the golf cart around out in the property out there, you know, in the back, out in the field. He's been driving the trucks around, you know, and he knows what to do. He said, Mommy, I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. Why do they not let us drive? I know exactly I should be driving. And, you know, as parents, we know that it's the mental part of it. It's not just turning the wheel and putting your foot on the pedal. We know that they're not ready mentally as someone said, you know, their brains aren't fully developed yet. And so it takes a lot more up here than just knowing how to function or use the steering wheel. And sometimes God makes us wait because he knows we're not ready yet. We think we are, but he sees what we don't see. And I haven't been able to convince Judson otherwise these last few years that he should have already been driving. And God knows that we're not ready. Even though in our hearts we say, Lord, I need it. I want it now. I just don't understand. Why don't you take care of this problem? Why don't you fix this? Why don't you change that or that person? And we don't understand why he does things the way he does. And we feel like it's time. We think, well, it would bring God glory if he did it right now. Can he not see that if he did this now, what I want, what I need? And Lord, I'm not asking for anything above and beyond. I'm just asking for something that would please you. It would bring you glory. And we think, well, why could he not just go ahead and do it? But he knows that we're not ready. And he knows that he has some more growing for us to do. And going against our grain, and he makes us keep waiting and keep waiting. And it's almost comical because after we've waited for a short period, or maybe long periods, we say, okay, God, I gave you your chance. You had your chance, and you didn't change anything. You didn't do it. You didn't do what I asked you to do, so I'm going to take matters in my own hands now. I'm going to handle this, and I'm going to do it my way because you don't seem to be doing anything about it. I've trusted you. I've given it to you, but you're not changing it. So I'm tired of waiting. And we take matters in our own hands and we make a mess of things. Just like Sarah, she was tired of waiting 25 years. Wouldn't we all be? She's ready to go into a nursing home and she's still waiting for her newborn baby to arrive. And she says, Lord, okay, I'm done. I've waited, I've trusted you, I've believed, you promised me, you said you were going to do it, and it's not happening. So Lord, here I go. I can probably handle things a little better than you can, I guess, because you haven't done anything. So she takes Hagar, and she gives Hagar to Abraham, so that Abraham and Hagar can have a baby. And so she messed everything up. We're still suffering those consequences today. And if she had just waited, which it was hard to do after 25 years, God had a plan all along. He loved her. He loved Abraham. He had made a promise, and he hadn't changed. And he knew exactly what he was doing. But she couldn't see that picture. She thought she could handle it better than God. And so we don't really come out and say it, but in our minds, we're like, you know, teenagers or children that really do think that they know more than their parents. We all thought that, you know, when we were teenagers, oh, that we knew more than mom and dad. But mom and dad knew all along. And God knows that we can't see the big picture. He knows that he knows more than us. But sometimes we act like teenagers or children and we say, well, Lord, you know, you're just messing everything up, Lord. If you could just see it the way I see it, you would do this for me. Lord, how can you not see this? That if you did this right now, if you changed it right now, I would be a better Christian. If you took care of the situation with this person or that relationship or that situation, and we say, Lord, I can handle this better than you can. Can't you see that? Just let me handle it. Let me take this. And we just take it out of God's hands, and we make a mess of things. But the letter A in wait is access your memory bank. Access your memory bank and remember the good things that God has done for you in the past, in that hard waiting room of life. Remember the things that God has done for you. Psalm 40, verse 5 says, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us word. So go back and dwell on all his blessings, dwell on the answers of prayer in the past, the things has done for you. And, you know, somebody said, don't doubt in the dark what God has revealed to you in the light. And go back to the days where right now you feel like you're in a dark period, a waiting period, a trial in your life, and you're waiting on God. Go back to those days when you did feel that he was answering prayers. If you feel like he's not answering your prayers right now, don't dwell on that and lose faith and lose hope. Go back to the times that he has answered prayers in the past. And don't doubt him in the waiting rooms of life. Don't forget how he's never left you. He's never failed you. And you may feel like you're all alone, like as you sit in those doctor's offices and you just sit and you stare at the four walls and you wait and wait and wait. And that's how the waiting rooms of life are. And sometimes you feel all alone in that room. But he's right there waiting with you. And he knows exactly what you're going through. And he knows when the waiting will be over, how much longer you have. And don't forget, like I said, that he has never left you or let you down before. He's never failed you before, and he won't now. So while you're waiting, remember all of these blessings and answers to prayer. The letter I in the wait acrostic, increase your prayer and praise and thanksgiving. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. While you're waiting, learn to pray. Go to God. Get close to God. Plead with him. Beg with him. Get so close to him that you can feel him working in you as he's teaching you to wait. And if I'm going through trials or going through a waiting period, which I've been waiting on a lot of different answers to prayers, it seems like lately. And that's why I feel like the Lord wanted me to teach on this, because he's been teaching me to wait. And usually when I'm going through something, I say, Lord, give me a song. Give me a song. That's where a lot of my songs come from. So, you know, I'll go through dry spells and the Lord doesn't give me anything. And then other times I'm going through something and I'm like, George, just give me a song through this, Lord. And he gave me a song. It's called I'll Wait. And it was dealing with this. I was like, Lord, I guess I just still haven't learned. I still haven't learned to wait on you, and that's what the song is about. And Judd's been helping me with the music. He loves to do soundtracks and all the instruments and stuff, so he's been helping me put a soundtrack together and the music and everything. But the Lord gave me that song, and I've gone back to the lyrics and the words over and over during this time that the Lord's been teaching me this. I'm like, Lord, and help me. Help me through this song. Help me to help others through this song. But ask the Lord to give you something. Whether it's a verse, to give you something to show you, okay, yes, I'm here. I understand. I'm helping you through this. Ask him to give you something special during that waiting time. Draw closer to Jesus than you've ever been before. And sometimes he may put us through waiting times just to draw us closer to him and help us fall more in love with him, just like trials. Next to trials, we learn more about walking with God in the waiting times of life than in anything else. Because waiting times may not necessarily be a trial. It may just be something you're waiting on, and you don't necessarily consider it a trial, but it's still hard to wait. And during those times, God can draw us close to himself and teach us things that we would have never learned. In Romans 12, verse 2, the command to be patient in tribulation is followed by the reminder to be constant in prayer. So be praying, constantly praying, while we're learning this patience, while he's teaching us patience. Let the waiting prompt us to pray. Colossians 1, 11 and 12, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, and to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father. So while you're waiting, pray and get close to God. So how can we put on this patience? How can we learn this patience? Colossians 3, verse 12, the apostle Paul points us to three different times of how to put on this patience. And you know what they are? Thanksgiving. Colossians 3, 15, 3, 17, Colossians 4, 2. Thanksgiving. There's few things that will help pass the waiting time. While you're waiting on God, as effectively and as richly as counting your blessings and naming them back to God. In the waiting, find things that you can be thankful for. When I start complaining, and we are all above complaining now. We're adults. We get on our children for complaining. But we're adults. We complain in our minds. We decide, oh, we're not going to complain out loud anymore. So we just complain in our minds. And I find myself complaining in my mind. And, you know, when that thought hits you, oh, here I go again with the endless loads of laundry that never seem to end. I've tried to train my mind, instead of complaining in my mind, because we're complaining whether we admit it or not, I've started trying to train myself, you know, as soon as that thought comes in my mind and I start complaining, to be thankful for something. And so I think, Lord, thank you that I have a washer and dryer. We grew up in Mexico as missionaries. We didn't have a washer and dryer. I remember going out as children. Mom would make us go out, and we would, out of the big old pile of dirty clothes, we would all have to pick out certain items, 15, 20 items, and scrub them on the scrub board. And it was freezing cold ice water. I mean, we'd hang them on the lines, of course, then go back inside. And I remember our hands would hurt so bad from scrubbing in that cold ice water. And so when I start now complaining about the laundry, then I think about, thank you, Lord, that I have a washer and dryer. And so there wasn't always times that we didn't have a washer and dryer in Mexico. We were rich at one point. We had a washer that had the wringer washer on it. And we didn't have a dryer, of course. We still had to hang it on the line. But we graduated to the richer life, and we got to wash them in that washer and then put them through the wringer to wring all the clothes out. And I have a pretty nice scar to prove my disobedience for using that one time. But... So we have, you know, things like that that can remind us when we start complaining about things. Thank you, Lord. So train your mind when you're complaining about this, you know, different things or waitings in life. And I've got to hurry here. But the number, let me finish this point up here real quick. So in the waiting, find things that you can be thankful for. The pain of waiting can point our hearts to Him and teach us gratitude. Maybe that's what He's trying to teach us in the waiting. Are you really going to be grateful? Are you really going to be thankful for this? And maybe the waiting period won't be over until we say, okay, Lord, even if you don't change it, I'm thankful anyways. So the T in the wait is trust that God is in control and working His best plan for you. Isaiah 14:24, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. So we must come to the place where we completely trust Him. That's another song that the Lord is working on my heart about. He's been working on my heart for about 2 years, and I still haven't finished it. But it's the song, Do You Trust Me? Do I really trust You, Lord? And We get to the point where we don't trust. We say we do, but we don't really want to let go and just say, okay, Lord, I really do trust. And He has a plan, He has a reason, and He sees beyond what we can see. He's working behind the scenes, things that we may never even know or see, just like in the book of Esther. You know that God is never mentioned one time in the book of Esther? But His hand is weaving in and out throughout the entire book, and He's orchestrating everything, and He works amazingly and doing things that only He could do, and works the whole book out for His glory. And trust that He knows best, and He's molding us into what He wants us to be. So trust is a hard word, just like wait is a hard word, because we have to let go. We have to say, God, I can't do anything about this. I just have to trust, and I just have to wait. And so there's a beautiful song. I've looked and looked and looked, and I can't find the verses. All I have is the chorus, but it goes like this. I see threads. He sees a tapestry, 1,000 shades of color sewn in harmony. The masterpiece He's weaving hasn't been revealed to these eyes yet. All I see are threads. We see the little ends in the pieces, and none of it makes any sense. And up above, He's got it all working out, making these threads into a beautiful tapestry. And one day we'll look back and say, Lord, that's why you want me to wait. That's what you had in mind. Psalm 40 lists some of the benefits of waiting patiently. And God listens, verse 1. He lifts our depression, verse 2. This is all in Psalm 40. He gives us a song, verse 3. We're a good testimony, and others will trust in him, verse 3. Those are all benefits out of Psalm 40 of things that, of waiting patiently on God. And as our text says, Lamentations 3:25-26, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. So the unwelcome periods of waiting in our lives are powerful opportunities to welcome God into every moment of our lives and to keep our hearts focused and renewed in him. So we have a choice to make while we're waiting, while we're in these painful, trying waiting rooms of life. Will we get angry? Will we get mad at God, get bitter? Will we get impatient and complain and gripe? Or will we do as this acrostic that we've just gone over? Will we, number one, will we wait patiently and expectantly? Will we access our memory banks and remember all the things from the past? Will we increase prayer and praise and thanksgiving? Will we trust that he is in control and he's working his best plan for us? That's our choice. This past week, on Monday morning, as I was doing my devotions, I wrote down four answers to prayer that God gave me just like that I've been praying for. And it was just like, wow. I was like, Lord, all at once? And it was all for a specific family member that I'd been praying for. Four specific answers to prayer. And there was a fifth one that I wasn't even sure if I had prayed about or not. It was something that I had wanted to see, but I went back and asked, Lord, I'm not even sure if I prayed for that or not. But it was five things. And it was like sometimes, you know, I've even thought, Lord, are you listening? I've been praying for these for so long, for these different things. And all of a sudden, just in one week, it was like, and it's like the Lord just increases your faith. You're like, you doubt me. And all of a sudden, he gives us these little handfuls, these little nuggets to say, I'm here. I'm listening. I am answering your prayers. And sometimes, you know, you pray for something and it happens right away. Other times you wait and wait and wait and you pray and God doesn't answer yet. But sometimes, you know, as I go through different things, and I've been going through these different situations that I've been praying about and waiting on, and I say, Lord, either change this situation, please, or change me. Maybe I'm the one that needs to change. And we just have to make that decision to trust, to truly trust, and wait patiently. And sometimes while we're waiting for God to change our situation, it's us that he changes. Miss Brenda.
Becky, that was your challenge for us. We really appreciate that. All right, we're going to pray. Thank you, ladies, for coming and helping us pray tonight. Is Beverly Lovegrove here? Beverly? She's not here? Okay. All right. Does anybody have any special prayer requests? I didn't get up here with my pen. I think I dropped it coming up. Does anybody have any requests? You'll have to talk loud because I don't hear well. Come up here. Your mom? What's your name? Lisa. Lisa, did I get it right? Lisa. Lisa. Okay. She's having surgery. Okay. Anybody else? Okay, Pat. Anybody else? Okay, Karen. Okay, now, Becky, you handed me these prayer requests here. It says, pray for Annis. I assume that's Annis Bernard. We don't know too many Annises, do we? Annis Bernard. Doctors think that cancer is in Annis's bones. Think they see it on the CAT scan. So going to do a PET scan on April the 3rd. You might want to write that down. April 3rd, Annis is having a PET scan. Also, her lymph nodes under her arms are getting larger, and they're concerned about that. She says she is in God's hands, and she is trusting him no matter what. So you all remember Anna. She's really struggled with this cancer, and seems like she gets a good report and enjoys good health for a while, and then something like this happens. So write down April 3rd when Annis will be having a PET scan. And then Betty Huffman. This is Joan Edwards' sister. She's in Franklin Woods Hospital. And had a portion of her small intestines removed. She is in bad condition and in room 2027 in the med center. Now, Karen, this would be your aunt? Your aunt, and she's pretty sick, right? Yeah. Well. All right. Okay, that's Betty Huffman. Huffine. Okay. All right. So that's Annis Bernard and Betty Huffine. And then Lisa is having surgery. And then Pat's requests. And then Karen Edwards unspoken. It's not Edwards, is it? Smith. You used to be an Edwards, didn't you? Karen Smith. You all remember Earl Bridgman. He's really sick. And he's wasn't able to have his second cancer treatment because he's having a really bad side effect from the first treatment. So they're treating this side effect with prednisone and steroids. And so they're trying to get him pumped up so he can have another one. So you all really pray that the Lord give him wisdom, whether he should continue on with this chemo or just put himself in the Lord's hands. Only he can make this decision. What would we do? So, but really pray for him. So, anybody else? Okie dokie. Now, after I'm going to pray for these special requests here. Debbie, you're here, aren't you? Yeah, there you are. So after I finish, then you can, if you'll come up and pray for our adult Bible classes. And then I'll pray for the staff member of the week, a deacon of the week. And Debbie Mullins, are you here? There you are, Debbie. I'm glad to see you. I'll be doing all the praying tonight if you hadn't showed up just about. And then Charm. Okay, and then Leslie's here. So, Leslie, we'll let you come and pray for our special events and then close. All right. Okay. Dear Lord, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. What would we do without you? When trouble comes into our life and difficulties and even tragedies and trials, Lord, what would we do if we did not have you to go to in our time of need? Lord, we just thank you, thank you, thank you that you're all powerful and that you love us. And that just like Becky said tonight, that when you do allow things to come into our life, that we're just to wait on you. You have a plan and you have an answer, and we're just to wait patiently on you till you meet that need and come to our aid. Thank you, Lord, that we have one that we can come to in our time of need. Now, Lord, I bring these people to you tonight. Lord, I bring Annis, bless her heart. Father, she's been through so much down through the years. Lord, will you let her feel your comfort? Will you let her feel your peace? Will you just wrap your arms around her at this time? I know she's kind of scared and doesn't know what's going to come from these tests. But Lord, Annis loves you with all her heart. She's been such a sweet testimony down through the years of when these trials and when these situations with her health would come. She'd always say that you're in control and that she's trusting in you. Will you just comfort her and just, even tonight, Lord, just wrap your arms around her and just give her sweet, sweet peace. Pray that she'll get a good report, that, Lord, when they have this PET scan, that she will get a good report. We just pray now that you'll just comfort her as only you can. And, Lord, we pray now for Betty Huffine, Lord, as she's there in Franklin Wood and had this serious surgery. We pray now, Lord, that you'll touch her and bring healing into her body. Lord, that after the surgery and the doctors will come in and they will give her good news. Pray that you'll comfort her and that she'll feel your nearness and feel your presence, and that, Lord, that through this that she'll be a godly testimony of your strength and of your power and of your might and what you've done in her life, and that something good will come from this, that her faith will grow. Lord, we pray now for Karen's unspoken request. Lord, we don't know what it is, but you do. And it's important to Karen. It's important to you. And, Lord, we just pray now that you'll meet this request according to your will. Now, Lord, Pat had these requests. She had several, and Pat works in these nursing homes. And, Lord, she's so faithful to visit these people in these nursing homes. Lord, you've given her a great gift and given her love for elderly people. And, Lord, she goes there every week, almost every day, and comforts these people and sings to them and shares scripture with them and encourages them. And, Lord, she's just gotten so close to many of them. And now, Lord, one's died. And Pat's sad. Will you comfort her? Will you put your arms around her and comfort her? And Lord, I don't know all of Pat's needs, but she seems really sad right now. Will you just comfort her and bless her and just let her feel your nearness and let her feel your presence? Lord, we thank you for Pat and her faithfulness now to visit these people and to visit with these Spanish-speaking people. And Lord, she just out all the time encouraging someone. We thank you for it. Now, Lord, we just thank you again for the privilege of prayer, and pray now that now I want to pray for Lisa, this young lady's mom that's having this surgery. And Lord, she's concerned about her. She loves her mom, and she's concerned about her going into this surgery. And we pray that this surgery will bring good success. And I don't know if her mom's a Christian. If she's not, that maybe through this she might come to know you as her Lord and Savior. And we just pray that you'll bless this in a special way, and that good will come from this situation. Now, we just thank you again now that we have one that we can come to and bring our needs. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Debbie, if you want to come and pray for the Hispanic ministry, and Danny and Shirley Jenkins, and us around six.
Dear Lord, we pray now especially for David and Samantha as they are working with the Spanish ministry. We thank you for sending them to us, Lord, and for the good job they have done. Pray that you'd bless Brother David as he prepares his sermons, Lord. Use him in a great way, Lord. Fill him with your spirit and help him, Lord, as he's trying to train others also, that you would just use him in a great way, Lord. Strengthen him and keep them safe, I pray, as they travel. Give them strength and help them to understand the needs and to just be able to minister in a great way, we pray. And pray for Julia also, Lord. Thank you so much for her faithfulness. And pray that you would bless her as she visits and as she does Bible study. And I pray for those who have received the literature that they would read it and that it would speak to their hearts, Lord, that they would see their need of salvation. Help them to see true salvation, and I pray that you would work in their hearts and continue to help this ministry to grow, Lord. As we thank you, Lord, for what you've done in the past 6 months and a year, Lord, how you have blessed this ministry, and we pray that it would continue to grow. Be with those who are faithful and encourage them and help them to be stronger in their faith, and then, Lord, that you would help others, help Julia and David and Samantha and Stephen as they visit, Lord. Just lead them to the right places, Lord, that they might be able to witness and see people saved and then bring them here to be discipled, Lord. Do pray for Stephen now as he's preparing to leave, that you would help him to get everything together and just help him as he goes down to Atlanta, that, Lord, you would prepare him in a great way and guide him, Lord, as far as his future is concerned, that he might know for sure what your will is and that you would provide for him in a special way, Lord. And thank you for the Jenkins as they lead this shut-in ministry. Thank you for their faithfulness, for their compassion, Lord, and their care for all of these people, Lord. And I know they're doing a wonderful job and pray that you might continue to use them and help them to be a blessing to these folks, I pray, Lord. And for bus 6, Lord, that you would be with Willie as he's leading the route and then Doug as he's driving. Pray for safety, Lord. Pray again that you would lead Willie and these others as they make visits, that they might be able to reach people, Lord, and not just children, but that we might be able to reach families as well. And be with Hannah and Jennifer and Craig as they help on the route, Lord, and continue to use this bus route, Lord, in a special way, and pray you would provide the needs and encourage each of the workers, Lord. Thank you for the freedom to run this route. Thank you that you've provided the buses and the people to do the work, and we pray your blessing on this route, Lord, and thank you for what we've heard tonight and how very practical it is, Lord, and that we might truly wait on you and trust you. Thank you for what you have done for us in the past and so many answers to prayer, Lord. And we just thank you for your love for us and pray that you would use us this week, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. I'm going to pray now for staff member of the week, John and Naomi Mineta. John's our bus director and commander of cadets. And we'll pray for the deacon of the week, Edgar and Lola Gamble. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for Naomi and John Mineta. Lord, we thank you for their love for kids. They love kids with all their heart. They love to see kids saved. They love to see boys and girls come to know you as their Lord and Savior. And they love teaching boys and girls how to grow in you and to challenge them to use their life for you. Just pray now that you'll continue to use them in the bus ministry and in the cadets. And, Lord, we just pray that you'll just give them much, much wisdom for different ways to teach boys and girls and challenge them to live for you. Lord, now, John and Naomi both have some serious health problems. You know, it seems like they're struggling all the time with their health. Lord, it makes it difficult for them to serve you as they would really like to with these health problems. problems. We pray now that you'll just touch John and touch Naomi and bring healing into their body and strengthen them as they're out visiting and knocking on doors and encouraging people, not only boys and girls, but adults. And Lord, I just pray now that you'll just continue to use John, Naomi in the lives of these boys and girls and men and women. And Lord, again now, that you'll strengthen them in their health. Now, Lord, we pray tonight for Edgar and Lola Gamble. Edgar is a deacon. Lord, being a deacon is a very important ministry. Lord, as he works with the other deacons to help Pastor Jody to make good and wise choices and good and wise decisions concerning our church. And Lord, I just pray now that you'll just continue to be with Edgar and Lola as they serve you and bless them with good health. And Lord, as they're out and about, that they'll be a witness for you. They'll always look for an opportunity to tell someone about you and to give out a tract and to invite people to church. And Lord, I just pray now that you'll use their lives. And Lord, especially now as Edgar's a deacon, that Lord, he'll look for ways to serve you more faithfully and to be a blessing to Brother Jody and to the other deacons as they meet together. And they'll work together in unity and harmony and oneness, Lord, to encourage Brother Jody and be there for him. In Jesus' name, I pray and ask these things. Amen. Okay, Debbie, if you want to come and pray for our missionaries, we didn't get the request. You'll just have to pray generically, I guess. But you know how to do that. Yeah.
Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we just do come to you tonight with thanksgiving and praise for the privilege that we do have to have you listen to our prayers. And Lord, it's a special privilege to be able to have missionaries, so many missionaries that our church is able to support because you've allowed us to, Lord. And we want to try to listen to you as we even think about our faith promise coming up soon, Lord, that you would help each one of these families represented here to do your will and to give as you would have us to give. And Lord, as we think about the different ones that are highlighted here tonight, Lord, I think of the Tulabots in the Philippines and Billy Ford there with the Indian people on that reservation there, and Jeremy Blonson in Nicaragua. Lord, each of these missionaries I know have special needs. Each of them need health, Lord, to be able to carry out your will there amongst those people. And each of them need financial support, Lord. And you only know each of those special needs, Lord, they have. And their desire to serve you, Lord, is such a blessing. And again, such a privilege to know them and to know about them and to know their desire, Lord, to serve you in other parts of the world, Lord. And their willingness to have gone to start with, Lord, and to just leave their homes and families here in many cases, Lord, and go to someplace else, Lord, to do your will and to win souls for Jesus. And we pray your blessing upon those people, Lord, even pray that you'll help them to have attentive ears, Lord, to the gospel that's being presented in each and every case, Lord, and for the Bible studies, Lord. And every time that your word is preached and given out in tracts and so forth, Lord, I just pray your blessing upon it, especially for these three missionaries that we're looking at tonight, for the hearts to be changed in the people that they're trying to reach even at this very moment, Lord. The work that you're doing, Lord, we thank you for it, and we thank you for the work that these missionaries are doing, Lord, there for you, their desire to serve you. We pray that you'll be your greatest blessing upon each and every one of them, Lord, we pray. And again, I ask you, as our faith promise is coming up soon and our mission conference, Lord, I just pray your blessing upon our church, that you'll guide us and direct us, be with our pastor, and as Brenda's already mentioned, our deacon board, and those who will be affected, Lord, by making decisions of even new missionaries we may take on, Lord. I pray your will would be done there and that your guidance would be truly known to these that are making decisions for this special event coming up. And again, we thank you for the privilege. Help us, Lord, to be missionaries wherever we go, Lord, even as well. And I pray that you'll just bless our church and help us, Lord, to stay in your will and to be soul conscious everywhere we go, I pray. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, Shar, you're on. Are you all following Sarah's on Facebook? Isn't that, can you imagine what they're going through? And it seems like they just get some really encouraging news and boom, something else happens. But you know, God's working there. He's working in the lives, I believe, of those doctors and those nurses and those technicians. I think they're kind of bumfuzzled because they really don't understand what's going on. And I think the Lord, and Becky, you know, if they'll just be patient and just wait. The Lord's doing something behind the scenes. I really believe he is. And I think these doctors and nurses and technicians are seeing something that they've not seen before. And that it's a big mystery to them. And I think we're all going to be excited and thrilled and just in awe at what the Lord's doing in Sarah's life. I believe she's going to get up and walk out of there. And I think they're going to say, whoa, what has happened here? And I think there's going to be some doctors and some nurses and some technicians that's going to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ because of Sarah's sacrifice. And so let's just keep praying for that little girl. But I just can't imagine what it's like, not only for her, but for Bobby and for her dad. And I just can't imagine. But the Lord, he's going to do something awesome. And it's going to be exciting to see how this comes out. So you all really keep praying for Sarah. And is anybody that's not following her on Facebook or that doesn't get any information about her? Well, just ask somebody because there's a lot of people. And it's always exciting. I get up early on the morning and wait to get it. I don't have Facebook, but someone sends it to me some way through technology. I'm keeping up that way. And I get up early in the morning, and I'm always excited to see if there's some news there about Sarah. But just really keep praying for her. Okay, Shar.
I do have a special request from a friend of ours in Michigan. He doesn't live there now, but his name is Hugh Vinson. And this is how God works. They lived in Michigan. They decided to go to Indiana, where his wife's parents are. And so they got moved down there, and just all of a sudden, he got to where he couldn't breathe. So he went to the doctor, and he has some kind of a lung disease that there's no cure for it. They have some medicine that they thought would control it. They gave him three different kinds. None of them worked. So now he's on a ventilator, and he is waiting to have a lung transplant. And other than that, there's no hope for him. So, and they're a precious couple. In fact, he's one of the ones that drove our big moving truck down here when Bob and I moved. He took off from work, and he said, I'm driving the truck. Of course, Bob couldn't hardly get it out of the parking lot, and I thought, oh, no. I thought, what are we going to do, you know? And then he came over and he said, I'm going to drive you and stay on. Said, you won't have to worry about it. But anyway, remember him. His name is Hugh Vinson. Very close. I have him on our prayer list in our class. And Hugh Vinson. And unless he gets a lung transplant, now, he's on the list. And he will be one of the first ones because of his condition being worse. But they said that's how they worked it. So, but just continue praying for him. Okay, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to thee this evening, Lord, we thank you, God, for the privilege we have of coming to the throne of grace. Lord, we thank you for each one that we have mentioned tonight. All of these sick people, God, we just pray that you would just wrap your arms around them. And Lord, we do thank you for what's going on with Sarah. And Lord, I feel as Brenda does, that there is something that's going to be a great awakening there in that hospital. And I just pray, God, that you will bless them. And God, be with Bobby and Darren. I can't imagine what they're going through. But I pray, Lord, that you'd be with them. Then, Lord, we think of Judith Grana that has 4-stage cancer. We just pray that you be with her as she's going back for a PET scan on Friday. Pray that you'll just touch her and guide the doctors, and pray that she will get good news. And then, Lord, we think of Chris Bryant, that's also in the hospital. We pray that you'd be with her now and just ease the pain that she's having in her back, and pray that you just help them to find out something that will help her, Lord. And then, God, we pray for Donna Josie, that's been out of church for quite some time now with different problems. We just pray, Lord, that I think hers is neck surgery that she's facing. Just pray, God, that the doctor's there. I think she's going to Knoxville. But we pray, Lord, that you'd be with her and touch her. And then, God, we think of the Lucille Bowman that's in the nursing home. And, Lord, what a blessing she had been down through the years. We just pray that you'd be with her now, and pray that you'd be with each one of us. Thank you for the lesson that Becky taught us on waiting. And, God, none of us like to wait. I don't like to either. And I just pray, Lord, that you would give me more patience. And, God, we do thank you for your mercy and for your grace, and ask you, Lord, to be with us and just go home with us tonight, Lord, and give us safety on the way home. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Okay, Leslie, if you'll come and pray for these upcoming events, and then we will be finished.
Thank you. Thank you, dear Lord, for letting us meet here tonight, and thank you that when we feel that you may not be listening, dear Lord, that you are listening, dear Lord, and we thank you that we can come to you and pray, that we can go to your throne room, dear Lord, is when we come and pray to you, dear Lord, and we pray for upcoming Easter service on Sunday. I know that for many families, that's the only time they can get their loved ones there, and we pray that if there's anybody here this Sunday that's unsaved, dear Lord, just work in their heart, in churches across America, dear Lord, everywhere, that people who are going to come for this time of the year, dear Lord, that they will not wait any longer, dear Lord. And we thank you that we do serve a risen Savior, that you are alive and that you love us, dear Lord. And we pray for the upcoming mission conference, just start preparing our hearts for faith promise, to know what we should do, what you want us to do, dear Lord, for that, so we can reach others in other countries, dear Lord. I remember when we were on the mission trip in Chile that Jason Holt had told us that 97% of people are outside the United States, dear Lord, and I thank you for the missionaries who here in the United States, but also abroad, who live outside the comforts of what we have here in America, dear Lord, and we thank you for that, and just help us to treat these missionaries as guests and as family, and to love them while they're here for the mission conference. And we pray for this upcoming children's treasure hunt, dear Lord, that we can get maybe some new children, new families in the church, dear Lord, through that outreach. And then also for the family recharge, dear Lord, and just help us to all take advantage of these opportunities that our church gives us, dear Lord. Just help us to invite others, invite family, invite friends, to reach out to everyone, dear Lord. And we thank you again for bringing us here safely tonight, and thank you for the message, the devotion that you laid on Becky's heart for us, dear Lord, and just be with us as we travel home, and thank you for all your many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.